Welcome to Excerpts from the Open Forum. On this program, we'll hear Mr. Harold Camping answering pre-recorded questions regarding issues from the Bible. Here's our first question.
I realize when I do wrong, and it's not of God, I repent, but sometimes I still might go ahead and wind up doing the same thing over. I know I'm not supposed to keep doing it over and over. I want to be saved, because I know I'm not going to be on this earth forever. But I'm trying to teach my kids. It's just hard. So, no, I don't know. I don't know. Any comments, what you think?
Well, everyone wants to get right with God. And that's because man is a religious being and knows that he has to answer to God. And if we've been hearing from the Bible for a while, we realize that, yes, to get right with God, I have to become saved. And as we hear from the Bible, we recognize that sin is what's sending me to hell, and so sin becomes more and more objectionable. And yet we find that we have a tendency to want to sin again and again. And we almost despair, because we know that there's something deadly wrong in my life. Now, the fact is that, number one, we know that God is not a respecter of persons, and he came for sinners. Christ came to save sinners, not good people. So if I am ready to admit to God and not do this just perfunctorily or intellectually, but really mean it, oh Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I don't deserve anything but the wrath of God. That's a good starting point. Number two, we know that God has elected certain ones to salvation, and I could be at one of God's elect just as readily as anybody else. So there's no reason why God cannot save me if that is his good pleasure to do it. Thirdly, I know that he's not a respecter of persons. He didn't come just for black people or just for white people or just for rich people or just for poor people or just for young people and or just for old people or just for men and not for women or women and not men. He is not a respecter of persons, and so therefore I fit that also. I could also become saved. And another thing I know is that it is still the day of salvation. That is a wonderful piece of news, that there is a great multitude right today that are becoming saved. And one other thing I know, and that is that I can pray to God for his mercy. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Now, that isn't going to make me saved, but guarantee I'll get saved, but it will at least get the message to God that he may know that I truly desire this salvation. One other thing, I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is, the Bible is the environment in which God saves, and so I'm going to be listening or reading the Bible very carefully. And as long as I'm listening or reading the Bible, I'm going to be praying for an understanding, and I'm going to be praying that I might be obedient to what I find there. And in the process, I'm going to be learning more and more about how great a sinner I am. I'm going to learn more and more how holy God is, and I'm going to learn more and more about his salvation plan. So it's all to the good for me to spend time in the Word of God, and then I am in an environment, if God should save me, he can save me. One other thing, the Bible tells us we have to wait upon God. This is a very difficult thing, because we live in a world where we like to have instant gratification. If we decide on buying a new toy. If we can afford it, we're going to get it right and now. We're not going to wait. And so it is with salvation. Now I recognize how utterly important it is to become saved. And oh, if only I could know by tomorrow or by next week, certainly no later than 2 weeks down the way, that I've become a child of God. That's my desire. No, God says, no, you wait upon me. And I know people who have waited for years, but eventually God did save them. In the case of the thief on the cross, whether he ever desired salvation or not, we don't find any record at all of his early life. But we do know that it was an hour before he died, or a couple hours before he died, that he actually did become saved. And so you have great hope. And so just keep reading the Bible and admitting your sins to God and cry to him for mercy and just wait upon him.
I listen to you as much as I can. But like my wife, I try to talk to her, and she really, she's like, oh, you only listen to Family Radio this and Family Radio that. But I try to explain to her, they just instructing us, it's not just a radio station. They're telling us what we need to do, what we should be doing. But she don't understand, or she don't want to understand.
Well, that's because, but you have to remember that God has to open her eyes also. You can't open her eyes. And so you just say, well, honey, I know you don't understand this, and there's a lot I don't understand either, you can tell her, but I'm just listening, and I know that I am a sinner. I know that I need salvation, and I'm praying that God might have mercy on me. And you also want to be praying for your wife. And oh, my dear wife, I love you, and I pray that someday maybe both of us will have come to a point where we dearly love the Lord and want to do His will only.
The kids, in this generation, the things they see on TV and hear on the radio, and I talk to them and I let them know, we're not going to be here forever. We got to get ourselves right with God. But, you suggest that I read to them more, or start reading the Bible to them, introduce it to them?
Well, you can only share the gospel with those who are willing to listen. Now, they may not want you to share the Bible. They may be offended if you do, and then you don't want to press on them. The Bible teaches us that, but you can continue to pray for them. But above all, you want to be thinking about yourself. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me, have mercy on me, because I know that I want Jesus as my Savior.
One question I have is, I am a Jewish believer, and my question is, I don't know if the word is practice, but I was raised with certain traditions, like lighting Sabbath candles, being kosher, and I'm just wondering if doing those things is contrary to the will of God, even though I know that they do not bring about my salvation. I do it almost as a tradition, just because I was raised that way, and I'm very concerned because I don't want to do anything that is disobedient and outside of the will of God. So I just wanted your opinion about that.
Well, there's at least I can make this as a minimum statement, and that is, we're not to give the appearance of evil. And when you light your candles, and when you all observe certain Jewish feast days and things, you are giving the appearance that you are a Jew, that you are, your trust is in Judaism rather than in Christ. And just for that reason alone, I would not want to give the appearance of evil. You must remember, your trust is in Christ altogether, in all the Jewish traditions and the Jewish activity of the special days and so on. While we read about certain of these in the Bible and read carefully about them to understand the spiritual truth contained in them, we don't want to observe them. First of all, we're running a risk for ourselves, because maybe we're arguing with myself, this doesn't really mean anything spiritually to me at all. Really? Is that really so? Or maybe it does. Maybe we don't want to admit it. There is some spiritual reason for this, that I'm doing this. In fact, let me offer a test. If you don't do that, how do you feel? Do you think for a moment that you're deprived of something that's important? And you can't really tell till you go without that for a few months and see what happens. You see what I mean? In other words, we don't want to tempt ourselves, and we don't want to have sin sneak up on us either. We want to look at these things very, very candidly and right in the eye. This is nothing to do with the gospel. Now, why do I do it? And I can argue, well, it's just traditional. Yeah, but if I'm really going to do it God's way, why don't I go all the way and turn away from that?
You are listening to excerpts from the Open Forum on Family Radio. Mr. Harold Camping is answering pre-recorded questions about the Bible. If you'd like to hear more of Mr. Camping's teaching, you can hear and even download Open Forum broadcasts, Bible studies, and more. Just go to familyradio.com and click on Audio Archives. Let's continue now with another question.
Hello, Mr. Campin.
Yes.
I have a problem with about salvation. I just recently just stopped reading the Bible. I just got discouraged because I didn't have that desire to really see that I was a sinner. And I have been reading the Bible for a while and listening to family radio for a while. And I just have an intellectual knowledge of the Bible, but I don't have obedience to it. Would you comment on that?
Well, yes. You see, we all start as being rank unbelievers. We're in rebellion against God. That's the nature of the human race. That's the nature of everyone. Now, we have a great hope, because God did indicate that He had elected the certain ones to become saved. And I could just as, if I know I'm unsaved and I begin to get a little nervous about this and worried that I wonder if I ever could become saved, we already have a great hope, because I could be one of the elect of God just as easily as anyone else. God is not a respecter of persons. There's no nation, there's no body of people, there's no family, there's no group of people anywhere that have the inside track. I could be one of God's elect just as readily as anyone else. As a matter of fact, as I become more and more aware that I'm a sinner and that I deserve the wrath of God, I very definitely deserve the wrath of God, I am even more qualified, because Christ came for sinners, and that's me. That's me. If I'm not saved, that's me. Now, on the other hand, I know that I have to wait upon God, and God is, if He's going to save me, He'll do it in His own timetable. But I know one other thing. And that is that the environment in which He saves is the Word of God. And so what I really want to do then is I want to be under the hearing of the Word of God. And at the same time, I'm going to be praying, oh God, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. That doesn't mean that's going to get me saved, but at least I know then He knows my intentions. And at the same time, I can be praying, and oh Lord, as I look back on my life, I never cared to do Your will, but oh Lord, give me an intense desire to do Your will. Oh Lord, help me to be obedient. And And in other words, I can start learning all I can about God and asking Him to be more and more in charge of my life. And whether He's going to save me or not, that's His business. But maybe I too could become saved before it's all done. And God has some wonderful things to say as we come broken before Him. We get encouragement. Maybe God will save me too.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
What about also for an unsaved person? What about if you have like a couple of sins that are just really major in your life that you don't see how you can give up?
Well, number one, because let's say that I was a thief. I just couldn't keep my hands in my own pockets and was always trying to steal from someone. Or let's say I just couldn't help but tell lies, or just say that I constantly curse. I just can't keep from cursing, whatever it is. And maybe it's a combination of several of these. And maybe I have an evil mind, an adulterous mind, and I'm just fascinated by illegal sex of one kind or another, and I just can't get it out of my mind. And maybe I'm a homosexual. Maybe I'm a sexual pervert of some kind. And yet I know I'm going to hell. What can I do? And I just don't have the strength to turn from this. And what can I do? What can you do? You go to the Lord. Oh, Lord. And you know the wonderful thing is that when you pray to God, you never have to try to hide anything, because God knows you better than you know yourself. And so you go to God and you say, Lord, you know I'm a sexual pervert. Oh, Lord, you know that I am constantly telling lies. Oh, Lord, you know that I have a vicious temper. And so on and so on. And, oh, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. And I know that you are the only one that can give, that can turn me around. I'm going to try to turn from this sin, but I know that the only time I'll be safe and secure is when you give me a new resurrected soul in which I never want to sin again. Oh, God, have mercy. And so you keep beseeching the Lord and talk about your sin to the Lord. You can tell Him things you would never tell a fellow human being. And you can pray, oh Lord, have mercy, have mercy. And could it be that this sin of mine too can be forgiven? And that's the wonder of it. And I don't know how God saves anyone. I don't know how God's plan works in any individual's life, but I do know that God has created us in His image. He's created us in His likeness, and even though we have rebelled and have become enemies of God, yet He permits us to come and plead with Him, and plead with Him, plead with Him some more, and thank Him for the blessings that we can thank Him for, and then we just wait upon the Lord and wait upon the Lord. And incidentally, what will happen is you seriously begin to pray the Lord, you'll also be thinking, you'll begin to find things that, you know, one of the reasons I always fall into that sin, I set myself up. I always read those girly magazines, and every time after that, I watch those salacious movies those X-rated movies, and boy, that gets me going, and I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to quit setting myself up. Oh, Lord, strengthen me now. Strengthen me. Oh, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. But, oh, Lord, have mercy and strengthen me. And just get into partners with God and ask Him to be your strength. And learn more and more to live in His consciously in His presence.
Hi, Mr. Camping. I have a question in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 18 and 19.
Isaiah 5. Let's look at that. Verses 18 and 19. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and so on. Now, what is your question?
It's kind of especially in verse 19. It kind of seems like that would be somebody who recognizes that God does 100% of the work, and yet they don't become saved.
Well, this actually is talking about those who are in altogether in rebellion against God. Because it's saying, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. In other words, they are saying to God, let him, if he's God and he has to do all the work of saving me, then let him save me. I don't believe until I see it. Or, he's coming on the last day, and let him come so that I can see him in his glory, and don't recognize that the day of the Lord is a day of judgment as well as a day of hope for the true believers. The context shows that these are those who are trying to bait God into do things because they want their will satisfied. They're not waiting upon God. They're not recognizing that we have no wisdom in ourselves. We wait entirely upon the wisdom of God.
How you doing, Brother Captain?
Very well, thank you.
Can we look at Daniel chapter 10, verse 13?
Daniel 10, verse 13. Let's look at that. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, what is your question?
Have you ever studied that to see what exactly is going on there?
No. Well, yes, I have looked at it, and I am sorry. I cannot really tell you I understand this. I do know that Michael is the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that he is one of the chief princes because God reveals himself as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so he is one of those three, and therefore this Michael, one of the chief princes, is definitely talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But how to fit all that together, I don't feel qualified to do that.
Second Kings chapter 6.
Second Kings chapter 6.
What is the meaning of the axe floating and falling into the water? Have you ever studied that?
Well, yeah, the axe that was, there was an axe head that one of the Bible students or students of the college, the Bible college that Elisha taught at, they were cutting down some trees and the axe head fell into the water. And then Elisha, remember, took a branch of a tree and put it into the water, and the axe head floated. Now, the water represents hell. The seas or water frequently are used as a picture of hell or being under the wrath of God, where we are lost forever because we're sinners, and right now we're under the wrath of God. But then that branch that was thrown in is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the branch Elsewhere in the Bible, he is like a root out of dry ground. We read in Isaiah 53. He was cut down and thrown into hell. That is, he endured the wrath of God on our behalf. And because he did so, we escaped hell. We are like the axe head that began to float, and so that we are safe and secure. As this axe head was safe, now it could be returned to its owner.